God didn't make me go through some of the stuff, false doctrine and things that some of you might have went through to end up here. He saw fit to put me in a little Baptist church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. I'd never been in a Baptist church in my life. Amen. And I got out of jail, and I did what most guys don't do. They all promise to come. Most don't. Most don't. Every once in a while someone comes. I was the first one from charity to come. And I didn't come to stay. I didn't understand people went to church this much. Amen. But I just came to say thank you. The preacher came and to the jail and said, a whole bunch of people are praying for you. And praying that I'd make bond, and I did. And I got out on a Friday, and I did what most don't do. On Sunday morning, I came to that little church, and Pastor Estep was there, and Brother Gresham, and a whole bunch of people that were to become the family and friends that God was going to use to replace all the bad stuff in my life. Hallelujah. And the way I was received that morning caused me to come back that night. And I'm like most folks that get saved from a rough life out there. They have no comprehension that they'd ever fit into a church. And they think of us as a bunch of goody-two-shoes. And truth of the matter is, some of us clean up real good. But even in a room this size, boy, God's brought us from every conceivable horrible pit and miry clay. And isn't it good? Isn't it good? We have our feet set upon a rock. Amen. Amen. I am glad tonight that he put me in a church where my preacher taught me right from the beginning, amen, that that this is the Word of God.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Bible issue. I had just been reacquainted with the hell issue. And I was just glad to find out there was something could be done about that, and I did it. And then I'm glad for the book tonight. Open yours to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And a verse that I like really well. And means something to me, and I'm going to preach out of it tonight. I'm going to use it for a text, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Word of God says this, but as it is written, and again, thank God it's written.
Yeah.
Thank God we're not here, amen, because how we feel or what we think. Just thank God tonight we can gather around the written Word of God.
Amen.
But as it is written, I have not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Let's pray. Father, again, tonight we come to you in the precious name, the majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank those that have come. Many have come a distance to be here tonight. And Lord God, that's not unnoticed here nor in heaven where you are, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the encouragement that we get from the saints. We're not getting any encouragement from this world. Our flesh doesn't even want to be here half the time. But thank God you've given us brothers and sisters in Christ that like us, have absolutely nothing better going for them than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what causes us to assemble like this. And Father, tonight we pray that you speak to us out of your word. And Lord God, I pray that you just meet with us in a way that we'll know that you moved in our hearts. That's what we need. I'm not an orator, a speaker. I'm not going to motivate these people. I'm not going to do any of those things, Lord. I can't. I'm not. I don't even want to. Lord God, I pray that tonight you'd see fit to manifest yourself in a special way. Bless this preaching and how it's received and the spirit in this place. Lord God, may it be pleasing in your sight. And we'll thank you for that. We thank you already for being here in the singing and just the spirit of the place. And we pray and ask, Lord God, that you'd see fit to stay through the preaching. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, I look through the passage and see what it says. But to me, especially as a young Christian, I got a hold of that thing, and it said, I have not seen nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I would have never, ever imagined in my wildest imagination the things that God prepared for me in this life. I would have never I thought when I got saved that I never even planned on getting a haircut. Amen. It wasn't about that. I wasn't going straight or turning over a new leaf. I wasn't tired of the old life. I was rather successful at it. Outside of that 37 years the feds were trying to put me in prison for, things were going pretty good. Amen. But in the course of dealing with that, God sent a man that told me that there's bigger issues than what's going on tomorrow. Amen. He said, in effect, you die in your sin, no matter what's going on in your life today, is nothing compared to the problems you're going to have then. Yeah. And I thought, well, that's cheerful. Thanks. Thanks a lot. But I tell you what, I got saved in a jail cell about a month after he preached on hell and Calvary, because I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew I deserved to. I was honest enough to admit that. Nobody had to take me through the Ten Commandments to convince me I was a sinner.
Right.
Amen. That's why I like going to jails, man. You don't have to convince them they're sinners. They already know that.
Yeah.
And just to be honest with you, in 17 years, I've been living for God. I haven't run into too many people. There have been a few. It's not too hard to convince them. Amen. All they got to do is have about that much honesty. Amen.
Right.
But I didn't even think about heaven. I didn't realize I was going to go to heaven. I was just so glad I wasn't going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I catch a verse like this early on, you know, baby Christian, 1 Corinthians 2. Amen. I'm not in Zechariah. I'm not in Hosea. I'm up here where Paul is. Amen. I can understand some of that. I'm no scholar. Don't even have a desire to be. That's a hopeless case. Ain't not got a sense of joy in my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. I've heard people smarter than me that can't do that right.
Yes,
amen. That ain't what I'm preaching on tonight. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And I start thinking about that verse over in John 14, that Jesus went to prepare a place. And I look at that verse, and like I say, it applies in this life. I never would have dreamed I'd have a job like this, friends like this, a family like this. I never would have imagined. That never entered in the heart of this guy. But when I look at that passage, I start thinking about heaven. Neither has entered into the heart of man. That's quite a statement right there. Mankind's capable of imagining some pretty wild stuff. Amen. I don't go to the movies, but man, when I quit, they were capable of imagining. I remember seeing Star Wars back in the 70s, and I still, for the life of me, don't understand why. Luke Skywalker was a little limp-wristed for me, but that thing where they were, I hope I didn't offend any Star Wars fans, but I don't really care that much, but that spaceship blowing up them planets, that looked more real than what I've seen on the news.
Yeah.
Man has got the ability to imagine some pretty wild stuff, and my Bible says that on our best day or worst day or any day, it you can't even comprehend what it's going to be like. I am so glad I'm going there.
Amen.
Amen. There's a lot going on, and I'm glad I'm going. Heaven, I want to preach to you a little bit tonight about heaven. I've got a joke. I don't tell jokes. I'm not good at telling jokes, but I can't resist every once in a while. My pastor advised me not to tell jokes, and for the most part, I'm like you. I pretty much take his advice. Every once in a while, I branch out. But then I tell on myself like I've already done. But here's the joke. Here's the joke. There's this guy, and he's standing there at the pearly gate, you know, and St. Peter's there. St. Peter, the doorman. Man, you know, I've read through this thing a few times, and that eludes me.
Yeah.
I can't find that, but I know Peter's got to be really glad to be demoted to doorman. I'm sure he's happy to hear that. I don't know where that comes from, amen, but and for the joke, that's worth that.
Yeah.
And so Peter's standing there, and St. Peter, whatever you want to call him, and here this guy's standing there, and Peter says, what do you want? And the guy's looking at the front of the gate and says, I want to go into heaven. And Peter said, well, why should I let you into heaven? What have you ever done? What have you ever done to merit, you know, entrance to this city? He said, well, I did a heroic deed. And Peter said, he looked at the guy, he didn't look very heroic, amen, like most of us. And he said, what did you do? He said, well, I was out there, I was in a city, and I walked out of this establishment, and there was this big, long row of Harley Davidsons, and all these big, hairy, mean-looking guys, and they're giving this young lady a hard time, and one guy was tugging on her purse, and some others were saying some things that weren't appropriate, and it looked like it was going to get she was terrified, and it looked like it was going to get out of control. I knew I couldn't do anything to them guys. Peter's listening. He said, well, what'd you do that was heroic? And the guy said, well, the only thing I could think of is I went over to the first motorcycle and I kicked it over, and like dominoes, they all just fell, and all their attention, I went from the girl, went to their motorcycles, and they let go of her, and she got away. Peter was impressed. He said, you did that? You did that for that girl? He says, when did you do that? And the guy said, about 2 seconds ago. Now you know why Brother Estep said don't tell. Well, yeah, there's a lot in this Bible about heaven. Hey, there really is. You can get in that thing and get the dimensions and, amen, figure all that thing out and get your little calculator and multiply a furlong. I grew up at a horse racetrack. I know what a furlong is. Amen. But, amen, I don't think it's the same thing. But the dimensions are in there. That's not what I'm going to preach on tonight. The material used in the foundation and the walls and the gates, that's all in there. It's interesting to read about. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I'm not going to preach on the landscape, the throne, the river coming out of the throne of God, the tree of life on each side, and the fruit, all that. That stuff, that's all that. You've read that, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you read your Bible. That's in there. You can refresh yourself on all that stuff on your own time. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. I want to preach on heaven, but what I want to provoke you to think about for a little while tonight, I love saying that, a little while, amen, it makes people nervous when evangelist says stuff like that, amen, I want to provoke you to think about people that are going to be there, people that are going to be there in heaven, amen, and so of course, the Lord. And that's who you ought to want to see the most.
Amen.
Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, so-and-so, you know, they're in heaven. If you die, you'll never see them again. Don't you want to see them again? You better get saved. I don't know if that's grounds for salvation.
Right.
I think you ought to understand you're a sinner, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can do anything about that. And he did everything that needed to be done about that.
Amen.
Boy, you give your sin to him, you can get him forgiven. And you end up in that place called heaven. I'm waiting. Boy, I tell you what, I can't wait to see my Lord face to face. Amen. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Amen. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But, you know, I'm not preaching about him tonight either. Not as the, that. What I want to provoke you to think about other people in heaven, the residents. People like this, like the saints that have gone on before, like Bible characters, like David, for example. That's one that maybe if you have any kind of relationship with your Bible, there's folks that you think about meeting, maybe seeing someday, talking to. David is one of my heroes. Amen. A type of Christ, the only man of which was said, a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, sometimes when you mention, say something about David to a group that's a little literate in their Bible, I mean, there's a crowd and they think about David and Goliath and all that, and sometimes they got more respect for him than we do because we know what he did wrong. And then you mention his name and try to make some reference to him loving God, and you'll hear it brought up, yeah, but he did this and he did that. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm glad God doesn't remember the stuff I did wrong every time my name gets mentioned. I mean, some people probably do, but I'm glad God's not like that. I don't want to be guilty of being like that. I want to see David and the mighty men. I know some tough guys in my life, but I tell you what, I'm impressed with that crowd. I'd like to see some of them fellas over in 1 Samuel 22, I'm interested in meeting them. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not going to be in there trading war stories with them. I just want to be around while they're talking and listen to what they're talking about. Amen. I respect that crowd that live for God. My son's a paratrooper with the 82nd Airborne. I've done 3 tours in Iraq. Amen. Came home 2 weeks ago from the 3rd one. He's got medals. He's got air assault wings, jump wings. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's a sergeant. He's got men in his command. And I'm proud of that. Amen. You know what? He's got 2 sisters that are in our church in Dayton, Ohio. Live for God, love God, serve God. And I make sure he knows, as much as I respect all that He-Man military stuff, I make sure he knows that I respect his 2 sisters for serving God as much as I do the toughest Green Beret at Fort Bragg. And I mean that, too. And I like that stuff. But I tell you what, I got more respect for somebody to live for God in this day and age right now, amen, than tough guy on the street. People in heaven tonight, here's somebody I'm looking for. Just personal. I'm looking forward to meeting the maniac Gadara. Amen. I read through that. God, my call to preach was confirmed out of Mark chapter 5. I read through that passage. That's my kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's my kind. He is a convicted felon. He's a repeat offender. Amen. He's been in a lot of trouble. Amen. And then the Lord moved in. That book says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran. Not the way he'd ran previous times, not the way I ran a few times. This time he ran to him. That Bible said he worshipped him. And verse 15 said he was feeding clothes and in his right mind. A little time with Jesus Christ would change your actions, your appearance, and your attitude.
Yeah.
I get around people that claim to be saved and their actions and their attitude and their appearance hadn't changed. I got to wonder.
Yeah.
I know you can backslide, but I know some people that never front slid.
Hey,
man, if there's no change, man, I got to wonder.
Yeah.
He did something. He changed me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward. When I find the maniac Gadara, I'm thinking that the 2 of us will go together looking for the thief on the cross. Amen. That's my crowd. Amen. I'm not proud of it. But I'll tell you what, the 3 of us, here's what we'll know. The 3 of us, hey, we can shout our gratitude for the lovely Lord Jesus, because the 3 of us are going to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we're there, we're in that place called heaven by absolutely no virtue of our own. It was all him. It was all grace. Yeah, and you got it right. Because the exact same thing will be true about you.
Yeah.
If you get there, if you're saved, you'll be there, and it's going to be all him.
Yeah.
Say, well, I never did what they did. Yeah, well, you could have. You might have.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. There are 2 kind of felons, you know. One's convicted. You know what the other one is.
That's right.
People in heaven. Man, it's populated right now. You get reading in there in Hebrews chapter 11. And you get some things, some history recounted there, some folks that lived for God. Amen. But you get past those heroes of the faith, and there's a number of saints that they're not mentioned by name, but there's some pretty serious stuff said about them. Tortured, imprisoned, stoned, sawn asunder. Well, that stuff that's going on over in Iraq ain't nothing new. Amen. But there's folks that were murdered and beheaded and sawn asunder in our history they did that so you and I could have 3 or 4 of these King James Bibles laying around that we don't read like we should. Amen. We're going to see that crowd there. And tell you what, you're going to know them too. People in heaven tonight. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom. I got to say something to Mrs. Hernandez last night. I had a praying mama. I was altogether, I was 20 years out there with drugs and alcohol, 15 in the motorcycle gang, some years in the military, and my mom prayed for me. and she didn't approve of anything I did, never pretended to, amen. But when I wouldn't listen to her preaching anymore, she just went over my head. Yeah, she did. And when I got saved, and that's when I began to appreciate my mom and dad. When I got saved, my heart was broken for all the pain and misery that I'd caused them. And I always had a good relationship with them. I always loved them. I always honored them. Maybe that's why God's been so good to me now. But I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend that me wanting to do things my way, I didn't comprehend what it was doing to them. Boy, when I got saved, I started comprehending it. Amen. God gave me 11 years with my mom, and as soon as I got saved, I started praying that we'd all go home together. I became aware of eternity. I became aware of my parents in their late 60s when I got married, or when I got saved. I started realizing that one day I was going to have to bury them if the Lord didn't come back and take us all. I started praying for the grace to bury my folks. Amen. And I got a chance to bury my mom 6 years ago. I got the call. I was up in New York. I got the call, and I was getting ready in the back of our bus. I was getting ready to start a meeting. My wife came, knocked on the door, and I slid the door open, and she said, "David, it's your mom." I looked her in the eye, and I looked at my wife and said, "Did she go home? She'd been sick." Tears in her eyes. She said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." Slid the door back closed, and got down on my hands and knees, started praying, thanking God for her. Asked God to help my dad. They're married 63 years. Both saved before I was born. Amen. I called my pastor. I went in and preached that night and left later that night, and I called my pastor. I said, "Brother Gresham, I don't know if I can do this funeral. It's a little too emotional for me." We were very close. And he said, "Whatever you want, I'll go down here, go down from Ohio to Tennessee where I'm from," and he'd do it. I said, "I got relatives that need to hear the gospel, brother." He said, "Brother Dave, I'll do anything you ask." And I had that 900-mile trip driving down there. The Lord was dealing with my heart. I had relatives. I had folks that were way out there in sin, and they needed to hear the truth, and they were all going to be in the same room. The Lord started dealing with me about, "Here's your chance." I called my pastor back. I said, "Brother, I think I can do this. I think God wants me to do this funeral." And I went down there, and God give you the grace you need for whatever situation he puts you in.
Amen.
So while my lost relatives and nieces and all that are having a fit and getting their drinking and popping pills and acting like they didn't visit her but once every 5 years, but now she's dead, they're wailing at the coffin and acting like, you know, I'm standing to the side, waiting for them to get done. I was closer to her than anybody, and waiting for them all to get done and go seat themselves. And boy, I was able to walk over to that coffin before they closed it and look down at my mother, and I was able to say, "I'll be seeing you later." And I know that's more real to me than standing here right now. Amen.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing her. My Bible says, absent the body, present with the Lord. She's in heaven right now. Amen. I got loved ones up there. I'm looking forward to seeing them. People in heaven. People in heaven tonight. There's people in heaven that most likely there's people in heaven right now that had something to do with you being saved. I had a praying grandma, 99 years old. She went home to be with the Lord. She went blind at 90. One of my cousins said, "Grandma, it doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair. You know, you're going blind. You've lived for God all your life, and now you're blind, and it just doesn't seem right." My grandma, she didn't care. She said, "Oh, that's fine. It gives me more time to pray for David." She prayed for me 9 more years before she wouldn't be home to be with the Lord. I'm going to see her again.
Amen.
Amen. The person that had something to do with you being saved might be there right now. And don't you get some kind of comfort from knowing you'll see him again? Talking about people in heaven tonight, but really, really, what I want to give you is this. I want to provoke you to think about people that, Lord willing, are going to be there because of you, because of some effort you made. I mean, I've talked about Bible characters and maybe the people that had something to do with you getting saved. Praise the Lord for that. But is anybody going to be there because of you? Amen. How about is anybody going to be there because you prayed for them? Because you sincerely took their name and thrown a grace on behalf of a prayer request, maybe given out during the midweek service at your church, for example. Anybody going to be there because you really took those requests seriously and prayed for them? That's what that's about. And the problem with our crowd is that doesn't really get real until the request is real personal. Maybe if we take other people's requests more seriously, we wouldn't have as many of our own. Think that's possible? Brother Easton got a burden for a young man named Sergio Gonzalez. He met this guy, and Brother Castro has spoken to him on the phone, Cuban fella, and Brother Estep met him and got a real burden for him. And, boy, every Thursday night he'd bring his name up and pray, I mean, for like 4 years. Every Thursday. I wasn't an evangelist back then. I was the usher. We only had one, but they needed four to replace me after I left when I went into event. Back then we only needed one. Amen. It was, everything was under control. Amen. But we prayed for Sergio Gonzalez. And one day, I remember I got there to the church and a couple of the men, the younger guys, Bible Institute students, they're going, Brother Spurgeon, he's here. And I was going, wow, the Lord's here. I didn't even realize it. Amen. And I said, who's here? And they said, see that guy over there? And he's in there with a sweat jacket on and just looked a mess. And they said, that's Sergio Gonzalez. I said, you're kidding. And I went in there, took a visitor's card, did my little job, welcomed him to church. Boy, that guy got in. We prayed for him for 4 years. Pastor Estep had a burden for that guy and brought that burden up, and we prayed for him, and he got in. I know a lot of times you'll be bringing names up and requests will be made, and you won't ever hear whether they got it. You won't ever hear whether it made a difference. Sometimes you get a report. Thanks for praying for somebody. They got saved. You won't see them until you get to heaven. But every once in a while, God does let you get to meet that person.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Sergio is one of the best men in our church, isn't he, Kelly? Amen. He's a blessing. Amen. Glad I prayed for him. Amen. Isn't it a comfort to know? Isn't it interesting to know that these names that get brought, that if you pray for them and they get saved, and some of them do, and some do, maybe that you'll never even know about, you're going to see them. You're going to get a chance to meet them. Amen. That's conditional, you understand. That's if you pray. I tell you what, there are too many independent Baptists. Their prayer life is like those convicts that God saved me out of. All their prayers revolve around them. Everybody in jail knows how to pray. Help!
Yeah.
Well, we're more spiritual than that. You know, we pray, oh God, if you'd get my finances in order, and my wife, or my husband, or my kids, if you'd straighten my preacher out on some things, I'd sure like to, if you'd just do this, and this, and this, and this, God, then I could probably move on and do something for you.
Yeah.
And that's the way we pray, and our prayer life revolves around us. I'm talking about your prayers will avail much for the glory of God if you pray for others. That's serious business. Man, every once in a while somebody will say, oh, Brother Spurgeon, we wish we could help you, whatever that means. You know, they're usually talking about help us somehow financially. And they say, I wish we could help you, but all we can do is pray for you. I'll tell you what, prayer is worth more than $1 million to us. Amen. That's what keeps us safe. Amen. I've made every mistake there is out there on the road. I had a 34,000-pound bus fall on me. Amen. Good thing it wasn't something heavy. I could have been hurt. Amen. And they spent all the money, got that big 2 years later, caught on fire, and we all got out of that. Amen. People pray. Those things, we didn't get through those kind of things because we got on the prayer chain. We got through those things because people pray. Pray, keep him safe on the road. You know how dumb that guy is. You can word it any way you want. I'll say thank you very much. Thank you. People that you prayed for will be in heaven if you pray. If you pray. How about people that you handed a tract to? I mean, do you hand out tracts? Amen. If you hand out tracts, you know, a lot of times you're never going to know what happened to that thing or where it went. But, you know, people get saved because of traffic. You'll find out when you get there, I believe. Amen. We got a guy in our church. We got a guy in our church, and he'd been saved, but he had backslid on God. I mean, backslid, dope addict, needle freak, the whole nine yards. And he had a silly-looking ponytail like I used to have, too. And he was at the college there in town, and one of the girls at our church was taking classes at a community college. And she'd take track. It happened to be the one we affectionately call the track that works. Well, we've got over 2,000 of them mailed back to the church. Amen. God's using that thing. And she left it in the cafeteria at the Sinclair Community College there in town. And this guy saw it, picked it up, and he's backslid, and he's skeptical, and he's critical, and he read the thing, and he laughed, and he didn't believe it. And what he did was he took the number, he got the phone number from the church and called the church with a critical spirit, and he said, I want to know, I read this thing, I want to know if that's true. They said it's true. He said, I want to know where that guy is right now. This is about maybe 1995. Secretary says it's Thursday. He'll be here at 7 o'clock. You want to talk to him, just why don't you come? And he came. He was waiting here. Oh, well, you know, God saved him, but, you know, he's back somewhere, backslid. That's what he was waiting here. That helped justify his condition. He came that night. He got there early. He didn't believe it. He came and he sat down, and I come in, he's a big old guy, and here I come in, assume my usherly duties. I'm looking for people I don't know, man. I go up to him, I thank him for coming, you know, and here I seen this guy. And I walked right over to him, I tapped him on the shoulder, and he turned around, I said, hello, my name's Dave Spurgeon. Welcome to charity, and I'm the one that he didn't believe would be there. He's been there ever since. That was about 13 years ago. His wife got saved, kids got saved just from because of a teenage 19-year-old girl took tracks with her and left those things laying around. You don't know what those things will do. We were in a little church in Indiana back in August, and a lady came up to me last year when I was there, and she said, Brother Spurgeon, my son's in a penitentiary right now. And I said, well, I'll pray for him, and I do. And she said, he got your track while he was in the county jail, and he got saved. He's holding Bible studies up in penitentiary. He's holding Bible studies. He gets out next year. And I said, when did that happen? She said, about 4 years ago. I didn't know. He got saved reading a tract, man. People do get. I was down at Chick Publications yesterday, and I've seen Chick tracts around for so long, I take them for granted. But boy, walking through that place and realizing where them things have been and all over the country, man, it and all over the world. Well, it reminded me that the printed Word of God does some work. Amen. You'll see people in heaven you had it tracked out to. Yeah. If. You know, if you hand out tracks. Well, we take them off the track rack, and they get all wrinkled and crinkled, and they find them in the glove compartment under the seat of our cars. And too often times when God gives an opportunity, oh, I'm out, like, you know, we're so spiritual, you just gave your last one out 5 minutes ago. You haven't given one out in 5 months. I know what I'm talking about. Anybody can hand out a tract. You ought to be able to. Invite somebody to church. Let your preacher preach to them. Amen. If you can't witness. But I don't know. I think it's... I know that some tracts have been mailed back. How many people got saved from tracts that you never hear about?
Yeah.
You'll see them in heaven. I'm looking forward to that kind of stuff. I'm kind of shallow, you know, I guess. That's just the kind of stuff that excites me.
Amen.
I like that stuff. How about people you witness to? Maybe you witnessed two people, maybe got rude with you or just patronized you, but there's going to be some of the people in heaven. Why? Because the Bible says that the Word of God does not return void. You know, we get bogged down by all these programs and methods, and maybe we should do this, and let's have a class on this. How about let's just be faithful and take the Word of God out and actually trust the Word of God to do the work?
Yeah, right.
Amen. That way, you know, this is a novel concept, but maybe that way God would get the glory.
Yeah.
Amen. People you witness to, there's going to be some there. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You never know where you are. You might be the one watering. You may be the one sowing. Amen. But you don't know where you are in line. But we know this. God desires to give the increase.
Yeah.
Amen. I like that kind of stuff. You'll see what you had a part in. Amen. In the process when you get there. We want everything here and now. Amen. That up there is going to last a lot longer than this.
Right.
Amen. So you'll see what you'll see some people up there that you had a part in getting the Word of God to them if you witness. Amen. I hope you do. I hope you do. You'll see people up there that got saved because of your help to a ministry. I mean, don't you like reading prayer letters from missionaries? We get missionary prayer letters. My family supports more missionaries than some churches I go to. I love reading them letters. I love reading Mike Roberts' letters. I love reading Humberto Gomez's letters. I love reading some of them letters from the Ukraine and Brother Dempsey. I got a lot of missionaries. And, man, when somebody gets saved, I think, praise the Lord, man. I'm glad I support them.
Yeah.
We're in on that. And that's the way I read it. Don't you? Amen. I know they get all the credit, but they couldn't do what they're doing without you.
Right.
Amen. You're going to see people up there. I like that song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. A little New Guinean runs up and says, hey, the missionary came to your church, and I got saved because you helped.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that's true? Don't you believe that can happen like that?
Amen.
That's what makes this thing real to me.
Yeah.
That's what keeps it real.
Yeah.
Amen. People that are going to be in heaven. I got a new prayer card, and I hope you take one and pray. And you can see I'm a patriot. I'm against all that bad talking about America. I think we ought to do what we can to win some Americans to Jesus Christ. David, our country's a mess. Well, if I read my Bible right, the whole world's a mess. Jesus Christ will straighten that out. But I'm glad somebody wasn't so fed up with America that they didn't come down to the jail one day and preach to me. Amen. I'm down. I got a couple kids got married off, so I finally got a new prayer card. I made a suggestion to these guys with big families, instead of having a picture done with all your kids on it, and then every year it gets outdated because every couple years it gets outdated because they get married. I come up with this myself. I didn't patent it because I don't know anything about any of that stuff. But I said prayer cards could have the families and then peel off faces, children's faces. And you could have them families with 8 kids, and then when one gets married, just peel their face off and you can still use the prayer card. That sounds good. I'm down to one, and I didn't make her face peel off because I ain't letting her go nowhere, no time soon. Amen. Matter of fact, I've been telling you since she was born, the Lord will be back. Of course, I told you that about kindergarten and then turning 16, but one of these days I'm going to be right. Now, that's us, see, and that's who we were up here. They were singing, and I'm not sure what it was I was doing. But if everybody that had a major part in us being able to do what God's called us to do, if their face was on here, even little, man, this billboard, this prayer card had to be as big as a billboard. Man, we've known for a long time, man, we couldn't do this without folks that help us prayerfully and otherwise. And I'm glad that we're laborers together with a whole bunch of folks, and so are you. And some people get saved, might get saved. You pray for us. Somebody gets saved because God lets us be there and preach the Word of God, and you got a part of that. The same way with the missionaries. If you pray for them, you support them. Somebody gets saved, you got a part of that. We're talking about people in heaven tonight. That excites me.
Yeah.
Amen. So you'll have a part in their labor. You know, that is, if you're laboring with anybody, if you're praying for anybody, if you're helping anybody, you'll have a part of that. This is eternal stuff. Amen. I've been around long enough. I'm just old enough to know that the next new car, the next new house, the next new everything, it ain't what you think it's going to be, man. This world, this life flying by. But this stuff I'm talking about now is going to last forever. People in heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. people in heaven. On a sad note, Revelation chapter 20, familiar passage, it says in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." I'm glad I'm in that one.
Amen.
"And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Talking about people in heaven, I'm going to tell you what, if that scene right there, if I'm understanding my Bible right, you're going to be a witness to that right there. And what you're going to see, some folks that you tried to win to Jesus Christ, some folks that you prayed for, some folks that you may have handed a tract to, you're going to see them there that day, and they're going to give an account for what? For why they rejected Jesus Christ. You'll see them condemned. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, we can do what we can. All tears aren't wiped away yet. That's going to be a sad time. I got people that I wish I'd have done more to win. That as far as I know, right now they're gonna die and go to hell, or they might be there already, and that's gonna be a sad day. I'm gonna tell you what's sadder than that. You're gonna see people give an account to Jesus Christ for rejecting the grace of God, the sacrifice that He made on Calvary. You're gonna see folks that you could have made a difference to, and you didn't. You're going to see people that you recognize, whether it's your family or neighbor or coworker or somebody that you just passed, amen, on the street, and you didn't say nothing. You didn't give them a tract. You were too busy. You're going to see folks there that are preparing to amen their own damnation rather than be there bound hand and foot in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to see some folks that you didn't say anything to because you're worried about what they might think. You might see somebody there about to be cast into a lake of fire, and while they were alive, you didn't really care if they went to hell or not, because they were different than you. That's not going to be a good testimony. I would try to witness to Osama bin Laden and win him to Jesus Christ if I could. And then I'd put a bullet right in his head. I don't think it bothered me a bit. He needs to die, I think, for what he did, but I wouldn't want to see him go to hell. Is that going to be on the tape? That wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to cross it out. How many folks are you going to see at this great white throne judgment that are going to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels"? How many are you going to hear that said to you could have reached, but you didn't even try? Boy, I think about this. I think about Christ being taken to the judgment hall, and Peter out there by the fire, and that account there, it says that when Peter denied the Lord the third time, the Lord turned around and looked at him. Boy, I tell you what, that had more of an impact on him than hearing that cock crow twice. Eyeball to eyeball contact with the Lord for denying him. I think that's got Peter cussing and weeping and knowing that he had let the Lord down. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being at the great white throne judgment as a witness? Conceivably, the Lord's on the throne and we're there behind them, those saved by His grace. And this judgment is going on in front. There's angels standing by, cast them into a lake of fire. All within sight. Could you imagine the Lord saying to a person, "Depart from me"? But maybe prior to that, "Why did you reject?" Can you imagine a person saying, "Well, I knew so-and-so, and they claimed to be a Christian, but they just lived like I lived. They did the same things I did. I didn't see any big difference in them. I just, can you imagine your name coming up at the great white throne as an excuse for somebody rejecting Jesus Christ because you don't take your Christianity as seriously as you should? Could you imagine the Lord hearing your name like that and saying, depart from me accursed, but at the same time, looking over his shoulder and making eyeball contact with you? I don't want my name coming up there like that. The Lord left us here to make a difference. People in heaven. Revelation 5. Turn there. I'm almost done. Verse 11. I always want to provoke you to think tonight. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts. Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I did the math on that, and that's a lot. Yeah, man, if you go to Daniel 7, maybe you get it a little closer. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Here's what they're doing. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Somebody say amen somewhere along here. And riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're saved here, when you get to heaven, you're going to see your Savior.
Amen.
The Lamb of God. Amen.
Amen.
But I got to say this to you. Before all that worship and praise, like that right there, before that starts, before all that fellowshipping with people that you had some part of, whether it's through missionaries or a track or even a prayer, whether all the fellowshipping with that crowd begins, amen, you're going to give an account of your Christian life at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? Are you ready for that? We get singing, Brethren, we have met to worship, and that last verse says that Christ will gird himself and serve us, and I think sometimes even those Bible believers get to thinking that, you know, we're looking forward to that rapture. Even so, come Lord Jesus, and I am too. But I think somehow we think we're going to get raptured out of here and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we forget about that little parenthesis called the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And we're going to give an account for what we did to get other people into heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. So let me ask you, is anybody going to be there? Because of you, because of a prayer, because of a track, you think just quitting smoking and drinking and cussing and watching bad movies and amen, you think that's all there is to being a Christian? Thank God he cleans us up.
Yes.
There's more to it than coming to church
a
couple times a week. Is anybody going to be there because of you? Because of your tracks, because of your prayers? Or are you just wasting your life, like too many Christians today, on yourself? There's way more than that to being a Christian. Way more to this thing than just singing the songs and not doing what we used to do. What are you doing to make a difference? Amen? Please, don't just stand by and let people around you go to hell. Amen. This ain't about what you think or how you feel. It's about what Christ did to keep people out of hell. I'm glad somebody came and told me.
Right.
Amen. I'm glad I'm running with the right crowd. I'm glad that I have more fun than I ever had when I was lost. I'm glad. I'm glad I enjoy my Christian. But this thing is about eternity.
Yeah.
And it's about heaven and hell. Amen. If you're wasting your life on yourself, let me say something to you tonight, beloved. Evie, where are you at? I want you to come. I want you to sing that song I asked you to sing. And I want to ask you if you're guilty of not having the burden you need to have for souls and not doing some of these simple, basic things, well, you know, the reason I'm preaching this is to let you know there's still time to do something about it.
Yes.
I mean, you can do something about it. And you can get that thing straightened out with God tonight, and tomorrow can be different. Amen. That's what preaching like this is for. Amen. And so I hope you do. And I hope you let God use you to get some people into heaven. I want you to listen to this. And I'm going to get out of the way. And the altar's open. And if you need to pray, I hope God spoke to your heart. But I heard it said like this one time, and I know it's true. Nobody's life was ever changed by preaching. I know it's the power of God. Amen. But nobody's going to come in and lay some message out that's going to do something magical. People's lives are changed by what they do in preaching. That makes this time right here the most important part of the service. The most important part of the service. What you do with the preaching of the Word of God. Debbie, go ahead. You listen. When his Lord speaks to you, you respond. I'm done.